Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Into the 99 podcast. We've got 99 cards because Commander's number one. I am one of your hosts, Daniel, joined today with Slothy. Slothy, how are you doing this week?
Oh, I'm doing quite well, thanks. How about you?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. I'm excited to talk about this list. I just want to jump right into it, so I'll go back a sec. Thanks, everyone, again, for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. Check out our sponsor of this episode, Abyss Proxy Shop. Use the promo code IT99 to get, I think it's 10% off. Is it 10% still? 10% off.
Yes.
On things. And if it's not, I'll pay the difference. 10% off on your orders of proxies. So that being said, this deck's not really going to need them. This is a pretty budget-friendly deck. And I'm just so excited to, like, talk about it because it's stupid. I made a Light Paws deck, and I made it for someone who was learning Magic. I wanted to get them into the habit of tutoring, and I was like, oh, this will be a not super oppressive way. Like, let's not give them like a deck full of like diabolic tutors, vampiric tutors, demonic tutors, all those. I was like, let's introduce them to just some mono white. No one can complain about that. And boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong about that. Light Paws is a pretty silly card. So, I'm just going to jump right into talking about Light Paws. It is a new commander from Kamigawa, Neon Dynasty, and it is one and a white for a 2/2 Fox Advisor. We've already got decent stats on a 2-drop commander. Pretty good. Whenever an aura enters the battlefield under your control, if you cast it, you may search your library for an aura card with mana value less than or equal to that aura and with a different name than each aura you control. Put it on the battlefield attached to Light Paws, Emperor's Voice, then shuffle. This ability is crazy. Most times when you get an ability like this, you're in a situation where it's less than, right? You play a 2-drop, you can search for a 1-drop. Mm-hmm. Light Paws doesn't care about that. Light Paws is mono white, all aggression. So if you drop a 2-drop, you can go get a 2-drop. Now, one thing you do have to remember with Light Paws is that the aura you search can only enchant Light Paws. So you can't go and fetch out your, if you have any answer enchantments, you can't go fetch them with Light Paws to put them onto the battlefield under someone else's. You have to play your answer and enchantments that are going to enchant other things and then go get something for Light Paws or just get everything for Light Paws as I do. So
yeah,
we've got some pretty abysmal sections for everything else in the deck. We've got 5 instants. You could start us off in our instance here.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first instant is Call the Copper Coats. It's 2 and a white. It's got Strive. This spell costs 1 and a white more to cast for each target beyond the first. And you can choose any number of target opponents. Create X 1/1 white human soldier creature tokens, where X is the number of creatures those opponents control.
I honestly just love this deck. This card keeping token decks in check.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that's a big problem with Voltron is you generally don't have the card needed to block things.
Yeah, you kind of focusing on one or two creatures, and then that's usually all you've got there.
Yeah, I'm also going to interrupt the list really quickly, very beginning. This isn't a normal list. I understand, before anyone goes off in comments, that I should have a Swords to Plowshare and Path to Exile and many other things. It's not what this is about. It's about pure aggression with Light Paws. So with that, you could put either of those in the instant section and it'd be good. I don't have them in it. I do have a Crypt Swap, 2 and a white, for a tribal instant shapeshifter. It's every card type. You exile target creature. Its controller creates a 1/1 colorless spirit shapeshifter token. Looking at it, I should probably switch it. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, next one is Disenchant. 1 and a white. Destroy target artifact or enchantment.
Then we've got our Generous Gifts. We have 2 and a white. You destroy target permanent. Its controller gets a 3/3 green elephant creature token. Like I said, if you wanted to make this deck better, you easily could, by just moving Crib Swap and Generous Gifts over to those. But as I said, I was making this deck for a new person as a giveaway deck, and I just didn't find those in the cards I was rifling through. So anyways, the last one on our list is Return to Dust, because I believe Return to Dust should be in every white deck, especially if it's a mono white. It's an amazing removal card. 2/2 white, exile target artifact or enchantment. If you cast it during your main phase, you can exile up to one other target artifact or enchantment. I really like that card.
Yeah.
Next, we're going to talk about my land base that I've put in this deck. Again, very upgradable, especially if you've got access to things like a Sarah Sanctum. This is going to be, spoiler alert, an enchantment-heavy deck. So things like that would be good, but all I have in this one is Hall of Heliod's Generosity and 32 lands. This is my base Lightpaws deck, the easiest version of Lightpaws I could think of to put it together. It is incredibly budget, and I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this deck is also, by the way, if anyone wants to look in the show notes here, it's only around $180. So it's like pretty affordable. You can cut out some of like the more expensive pieces if you want. Like I think one of my creatures is, I think there's like a few $10 cards, but it's overall pretty cheap. I think the most expensive card in the deck is an aura, and you can get rid of that aura. It doesn't need to stay in the deck, but it's pretty good. With our lands out of the way, you want to go into our sorceries?
Yeah. So the first sorcery is Gift of Estates, 1 and a white. If an opponent controls more lands than you, search your library for up to 3 planes cards, reveal them, put them into your hand, then shuffle your library. You're playing mono white. People are going to have more lands than you.
Yep.
Especially with a 4-player game, you're probably not first in turn cycle.
Yeah. So, even if you are, it's a turn or two until you're lower on lands.
Exactly. Especially if you're playing against green, which...
It's mono white. It's doing its best, all right?
It's trying.
We have Open the Vaults. We have 4 double white. Return all artifact and enchantments from all graveyard to the battlefield under our owner's control. This hits everyone, and yeah, it's they'll get their stuff back, but I promise you, you getting your enchantment section back is going to hurt a lot more than most people.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Retether, 3 and a white. Return each aura card from your graveyard to play. Only creatures can be enchanted this way.
Yeah, so anything that enchants like artifacts or other permanents, you can't use your normal answers that way, but that's okay. Then we have Winds of Abandon. In my opinion, the best white removal card that's ever been printed. 1 and a white, exile target creature you don't control. For each creature exiled this way, its controller searches for a basic land. Those players put them onto the battlefield tap, then shuffle. And it has an overload of 6 to exile every other creature you don't own. It's an amazing card.
Yeah.
I can't buy enough of these cards, it seems.
And they're only a couple bucks, too, so...
Yeah, it's pretty new removal, and it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we end this section with...
It's with Winds of Wrath, 3 double white. Destroy all creatures that aren't enchanted. They can't be regenerated.
Yeah. So, like I said, we're pretty light on the majority of our sections. We only have one other section before we get into the real meat and potatoes of Lightpaws. What really makes Lightpaws shine. And, we only have 6 creatures. Our creature section is also fairly budget. It's $24. We've got a Core Spirit Dancer. It gets 2/2 for each aura attached to it. It's never going to have auras attached to it. Those are for Lightpaws. And whenever you cast an aura spell, you may draw a card.
This card in this deck.
Yes.
Another thing that white really struggles with is card draw. So.
Yeah, and speaking of our card draw, we also have a Mesa Enchantress. 1 double white for a 0/2 human druid. Whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you may draw a card. You wanna continue on our theme here of what these do?
Yeah. So the next one is Sram Senior Edificer, 1 and a white for a 2/2 legendary creature dwarf advisor. Whenever you cast an aura, equipment, or vehicle spell, draw a card.
Yeah. We have Starfield Mystic. Enchantment spells are 1 less whenever an enchantment you control is put in the graveyard from the battlefield. Put a 1/1 counter on Starfield Mystic. I keep thinking I'm going to replace this. A lot of these are really, really cheap. You might have noticed I don't have an artifact section in this deck. So if you're looking at the list at home or pulling it up to build it, I don't have an artifact section because I just didn't think ramp was that important in this deck. Like, Lightpaws is turn 2, and I'm not keeping a less than 2 mana hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, right?
And kind of like you were saying as well, the average mana value is less than 3, so...
Yeah. Realistically, if you get a hand with 3 mana, you're pretty much set in this. Because turn 1 is going to be you doing pretty much nothing. Like, again, you can upgrade this deck to do a lot of more aggressive things. You could put in, like, a land tax. You could put in lots of good 0 drops. You could even put in a Jeweled Lotus if you wanted, for some reason, to have 1 floating mana when you cast Lightpaws for 0 mana on turn 1. I get it. 1
floating mana you can do nothing with.
Yeah, exactly. But it's there. It's a real flex, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I just didn't put an artifact section in, and I had a lot of enchantment reduction, and I might just put more enchantments in the deck. Like, we'll get to it. We only have 6 creatures and stuff, right? Starfield Mystic brings it down, and then Transcendent Envoy does the same. 1 and a white for an enchantment creature griffin. Aura spells you cast are 1 less. Again, something we care about, but when our cost is pretty much nothing, it's not really... A lot of the times, I've played this deck a bunch of times. And, like, yeah. I've played the budget version, which is this one, and I think it's hilarious. And then I have, like, a more aggressive one that it would 100% would fall into the high power range. And, like, we're not going to go into, like, the, like, Mox Diamond list because it's not necessary. Like, this is more than you need for your casual table. So, competitive players, too bad. But, like I said, I think I am going to just remove some of these because I find myself holding them up because I'd rather cast an enchantment and trigger my Light Paws ability. Light Paws is going to get targeted, and the joy of that is that pretty much if they can't kill him the first turn he comes out, he's pretty impossible to kill. Light Paws, he, she, I don't know. The card might, maybe Light Paws is a girl. Regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the last card on the list is, it's a $10 creature, which again isn't super important in the deck, but it's pretty good. It's Umbra Mystic, 2 and a white for a 2/2 human wizard. Or is attached to permanents you control have totem armor, which is very nice, I think. Yeah. So, like I said, zero artifacts in the deck. That's our $24 creature section. It's six big. So we've got, so far, $24 in the creatures, $7 in our instants, $18 in our land, which 10 of it is Heliod's Generosity, and for some reason it's saying a quarter per plane, so it's even cheaper. And then our sorceries are $24. So, like, For pretty much nothing, you have the majority of the deck built. Now we get into our enchantments. And our enchantments are where everything Light Paws does comes to life. And this is, it's only a $100 section. It's, I think, pretty budget at $100 of enchantments. You don't need to run 50 enchantments in a deck. You can definitely slim this list down if you want. I just really like tutoring for enchantments. And that's what this deck allows me to do. So again, there's many things, especially the higher cost things like, this deck list originally had an Eldrazi Conscription, and you never play Eldrazi Conscription. Everyone's dead by the time 8 mana is available.
Yeah.
Yeah, either you're dead. This isn't mono white can't really ramp to an Eldrazi Conscription unless you're reanimating your auras from the grave. So, but with that being said, we'll start this list off. All That Glitters is the first one on it. It's one in a white, and it's one of my favorite cards to tutor up early with Light Paws. It's enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets 1/1 for each artifact and or enchantment you control. This just already on its own will give it a 1/1 for 2 and just scales exponentially from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All That Glitters is really good. Again, if you're playing a better list and you put a Smothering Tithes in, that's also a really, really good card with the Smothering Tithes. Like there's many things. This list is not a good list. It is a list that is funny to blitzkill the table. It can be better. I cannot stress that enough. You could make this list better. Every single person listening, I believe in you. That being said, we have Angelic Destiny. 2 and double white for an enchantment aura. Enchanted creature gets 4/4 flying first strike and is an angel. When enchanted creature dies, return Angelic Destiny to its owner's hand. And that's actually really important because the way Commander used to function, we would not have gotten this back because your commanders didn't technically die. Now they do technically die before going to the command zone, making cards like this, again, nearly impossible to remove unless you're the one unicorn player packing enchantment removal in your decks. And I have 50 enchantments. Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, get rid of one of them.
Yeah.
It's a good start.
Yeah, getting Angelic Destiny back on the death is really, really good because then as soon as you get your Light Paws back out, you've got another huge tutor. This can tutor pretty much anything in your deck out. And 4/4 Flying Angel is pretty rough. Do you want to take the next one?
Yeah. Next up is Angelic Gift, 1 and a white. Enchant creature, when Angelic Gift enters the battlefield, draw a card, and enchanted creature has flying.
Again, a little bit of card draw, a little bit of evasion.
Yeah.
We have Battle Mastery. This is an MVP card in the deck, and one of the most vital things to tutor out when you can as quick as you can. It's 2 and a white. Enchanted creature has double strike. That really hurts people. Like in a deck like this, like it seems all these cards seem not good on their own. Like a lot of them just seem like nothing. But I've like constantly had like an 11 mana light or an 11 damage Light Paws.
Yeah.
On turn three. Yeah. Like it just goes off really, really quickly. And we'll talk about some of the things to tutor later on because I think we'll blow through this list pretty quickly because they're not very complex cards, right?
Yeah.
The next one is important. I want to talk about this one quickly. It's Benevolent Blessing. It's 1 and a white. It has flash, which is very good in your deck. Enchant creature, as it enters, choose a color. It has protection from the chosen color. This effect doesn't remove auras and equipment you control that are already attached to it. This is the best card in the deck, I believe. Because generally speaking, you're going to get this card Path to Exiled. It's going to happen. You're going to be like a mass target for removal, especially when I said on turn three, you smash someone in the face for 11 commander damage. It comes down really heavy. So normally with protection, if I was to give Light Paws protection from white, all of the enchantments on Light Paws would come off. Protection, for anyone who's unaware of it, is the acronym DEBT, D-E-B-T. You can't damage, enchant, block, or target those creatures with protection. So if it has protection from white, anything, if I give Light Paws protection from white, Light Paws can no longer be enchanted by anything I control because I'm mono white. I can't target it to put new enchantments on, and I can't even kill Light Paws with my own removal. Giving Light Paws protection from white is one of the worst things that can happen to Light Paws. If you are against a Light Paws deck and you have a Mother of Runes or something, Mother of Runes might be to things you own. Anyways, if you have something that gives target creature protection from a color of your choice, on Voltron commanders, especially aura ones, it is really funny to make the auras fall off. And I don't know, I think many people don't know that it takes the enchantments off them if they gain protection from it. So, a good way to do it. That's one of the biggest counters to Light Paws, is giving Light Paws protection from white, and or something like I put it in Kama. I can't remember. It's like the canopy cover where enchanted creature can't be the target of spells.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that one will also wreck it. If you just make it so I can't target Light Paws, it's pretty much beat me. And then the other one is somebody got a turn one Leonin Arbiter out on me the other day against Light Paws. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, that will also really throw a wrench in your plan. We were talking about earlier, any of the hate bears where you can't search your deck, like Mind Lock, even Mind Sensor, Opposition Agent would infuriate me. Like, any of those things would be pretty rough. So, yeah, that's my rant about Benevolent Blessing. It is an amazing card. It's 25 cents. It's one of the best cards you can get in it. It's got your instant speed protection. I just can't say enough good things. And again, with Light Paws, it'll tutor you out so many things in the deck. Like, looking at the stats of this, I have in the deck 10 1-drops and 27 2-drops. So, generally speaking, like, yeah, like Light Paws and a few of the creatures are 2-drops. So let's even say that it takes like 5 things off the list. You have 23 targets available with.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. Can't talk enough about it. Carrying on though.
One more thing about Benevolent Blessing too, with it just being a quarter, it's also from a very recent set, so it's not hard to find.
Oh, incredibly easy. Yeah. It's not an old one. There are a few old ones in here that you might have a trouble getting a hold of, but
yeah. That's why I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah.
But next up is Bonds of Faith, 1 and a white. Enchanted creature, it's +2/+2 as long as it's a human. Otherwise, it can't attack or block.
This is one of my offense cards. So I just make it so people can't hit me with their big creatures. Because again, I don't really have blockers.
Yeah.
The deck, as you may have noticed, there's a theme, and the theme is Light Paws.
Yeah.
Yeah. This next one is really, really good. You see a lot of people playing the... A lot of people really protect their creatures, make them indestructible. A lot of Avacyns, a lot of the gods like Purphoro, stuff like that. And Captured by the Consulate is a great card to put on those. It's 3 and a white for enchant creature you don't control. Enchanted creature can't attack whenever an opponent casts a spell if it has a single target. Change the target to enchanted creature if able. The best target you can put this on is one of the Theros gods, because it's an enchantment and a creature, and it'll make it so that they can't target Captured by the Consulate because they have to target the god, and they can't. It's very, very good removal or removal magnetism.
Yeah.
But it's also just good to protect your creature in general.
Oh, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Next up is Conviction, 1 and a white, enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+3, and you can pay a white to return Conviction to its owner's hand. It's a good way to get a whole bunch of Light Paws triggers off.
Yeah, exactly. Just get it off so you always have something to target with. We also have a Dark Steel Mutation, which is, in my opinion, one of the most annoying cards in Magic, and I love it. we've got 1 and a white for an aura. Enchanted creature is an insect, artifact, creature token with base power and toughness 0/1. Indestructible, loses all other abilities, card types, and creature types. So first off, that's hilarious. It's a card that every time I see it played, I hate it, but it is hilarious. And if you have your Light Paws out, you can remove the biggest threat on the board into a 0/1 and still go tutor something else out. And actually, the card you're generally going to tutor out is the next one. I'll let you take this one.
Yeah. The next one is Daybreak Coronet, double white for an aura. Enchant creature with another aura attached to it. An enchanted creature gets +3/+3, first strike, vigilance, and lifelink.
Oh, man, that's a good aura. It's
pretty good.
Yeah. It's real good. I really, really like it. Generally speaking, Daybreak Coronet's downside is that it makes it so that you have to enchant something that's already enchanted. So it makes what you want to remove, whatever Daybreak Coronet is on. It becomes a target because you're taking many things away. And if you were to get rid of my like Light Paws in response to it, then I'm losing Light Paws. This will fizzle because it no longer has a target and whatever the other aura is. That's generally the downside. But Light Paws is so good at protecting Light Paws. Like Light Paws is on the ultimate defense. So killing Light Paws is very hard, like very, very hard. If Light Paws doesn't die on the first turn, and if you're playing this Light Paws deck, your job and threat assessment is to first figure out who is playing single target removal that can hit Light Paws, and going to get Light Paws protection from those colors. And I have a different version of Light Paws as well, like I said, and it has all of the wards except for white. It has the black, blue, green, red wards. So those are your like first searches for, like, if somebody is playing things that are going to destroy all these creatures, or you want to do that. But Daybreak Coronet just makes Light Paws really, really, really hard to deal with. So again, 3/3 first strike, vigilance, and lifelink, right? Light Paws can attack without being like without a problem. You can swing your big creature into Light Paws. And again, if you have like an 11/11 Light Paws on turn two or turn three, the amount of no one's really getting through that, you know? That's not a normal power toughness for the board.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and so even if someone's like swinging like, oh, well, I'll hit you back for 5, you're just going to lifelink it back with this.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Yeah. It's not very hard to regain anything that you lose.
Yeah. We've also got Divine Favor. We have 1 and a white for an enchant creature. When it enters, you gain 3 life. Enchanted creature gets +1/+3. Just generic something we can draw to go tutor.
Yep.
Then we have Dub. 2 and a white. every time I've played this, I just keep saying Night Paws, and it makes me laugh. So it's 2 and a white. Enchanted creature gets 2/2, has first strike, and is a knight in addition to its other creature or other types. So I love it.
Next up is Ethereal Armor, single white, enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 for each enchantment you control and has first strike. That is
really good. Yeah.
That's really, really good. That's, you can get, like, if you get Light Paws out and then play your Dark Steel or any 2-drop or even 1-drop, because it doesn't have to be less, I guess.
Yeah.
You can have that right away. That is mean.
Well, yeah, generally speaking, like, it's one of the first 1-drops I tutor for, and all that glitters is the other.
Yeah.
So 2/2 for each of my enchantments is just bonkers. Like, I really, really like the Ethereal Armor kind of things like that. I like how much utility you get on that 1-drop. Because it's good early. 1/1 and first strike for 1 would already be a good card.
Yeah.
And the fact that it just scales up is even better. Then we have Faith Unbroken. We have 3 and a white. Enchant creature you control. It enters the battlefield, exile target creature an opponent controls until it leaves the battlefield, and enchanted creature gets 2/2. This is awesome, problematic removal, and then a really, really good way to get just a bigger power and toughness on it. That's another thing I was going to say is, you'll learn playing Voltron decks that you have to threat assess very differently. Number one is what can remove and kill my commander, and the other is what can't I beat late game? And a lot of times, like, this is a mono white deck running 32 planes. You're not going to get through a Pillow Fort Stacks deck.
No, not at all.
You know what I mean? Like, it's even if Light Pause is unblockable, like, a lot of the time, I've seen a lot of decks that are like, pay 9 for each attacking creature. And if you get to a point in the game where you have 9 mana, you're probably not doing Light Pause correctly.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Light Pause should kill everyone when there's 4 mana on the board.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Another really, really good early tutor is Felidar Umbra. 1 and a white, enchanted creature, has lifelink. Pay 1 and a white, attach it to enchanted creature you control, so you can move it around if you need to. You won't need to, though. But it has Totem Armor, which is going to stop Light Pause from being destroyed.
Yeah.
The next one, too, if you get late into the game, is really, really good. If you can hold the mana up for this, then Light Pause just becomes, like, impossible to deal with.
This is an aura I really like. Flicker Form, 1 and a white. Enchant creature, you can pay 2 double white to exile enchanted creature and all auras attached to it. At the beginning of the next end step, return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control. If you do, return the other cards exiled this way to the battlefield under their owner's control attached to that creature.
Yeah, it's a real problem in Light Pause. Like, again, your only chance to deal with a Light Pause deck is to kill Light Pause, and Flicker Form makes that so much harder.
Yeah.
Speaking of Flicker Form and things that make it harder to kill Light Pause, this is Flickering Warden. I believe it's the most expensive enchantment in the deck right now, obviously because of Sithis and how much value it generates in a deck like that. But it's 1 white mana. When you play it, choose a color. Enchanted creature gains protection from the chosen color, and you can pay 1 white to return it to its owner's hand. So this is just phenomenal to get out early. Like, if you even, let's say that we're on our turn 3. We've played Light Pause. We've played a third land on turn 3. Nothing crazy has gone on. We haven't ramped up ahead of anyone else. We play a Flickering Ward. We go and get Ethereal Armor. We return Flickering Ward to its owner's hand, and then we go and get any other one drop that we want. Like, there's a few one drops coming up that are pretty good. You've gotten your Ethereal Armor is going to buff it by 3. You have protection from whatever color you need, so Light Pause is already a 5 before the other armor.
Yeah.
Yeah, like even the next card, Glaring Aegis, is when it enters, tap target creature and opponent controls, enchanted creature gets 1/3. So literally on turn 3, you've got a 7/7 Light Pause without ramping at all. And that's just on the first one drop we saw after Flickering Ward.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, it's pretty good. The next one is a really old card. You might have trouble finding this one because it's just, like I said, it's just old. Mm-hmm. But I find that this one actually does a lot of work based on current metas. I'll let you take this one.
Yeah, this is Green Scarab. Single white, enchant creature. Target creature gets +2/+2 as long as any opponent controls any green cards. That creature cannot be blocked by green creatures.
Yeah. I really, really like that card.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people are going to be playing green, so...
Yeah. We've got Guardian's Mage Mark, 2 and a white. You can play it anytime. You can play an instant. So again, flash to protect Light Pause, because you can flash it and also tutor. Enchanted creature, creatures you control that are enchanted get 1/1. But it's going to be to tutor out a protection from whatever color you need to get Light Pause. That's what you're holding this up for.
Yeah.
I'll let you take this next one here.
Yeah, so this next one is Holy Mantle. 2 double white, enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from creatures.
Protection from creatures on Light Pause is rough.
Yeah, 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 that's just mean.
Yep. We also have Hyena Umbra. All the Umbras in this are so good. Hyena Umbra, 1 white, enchanted creature gets 1/1 in first strike, and also Totem Armor.
Yeah.
Oh, this is another bread and butter card in Light Pause. If you can cast this and fetch Daybreak Coronet, it's rough. Light of Promise is 2 and a white. Whenever you it's 2 and a white enchant creature. Whenever you gain life, put that many 1/1 counters on this creature.
Yeah. Very, very powerful card in this deck.
Yeah, well, and especially there's a few things in this deck that give you lifelink, obviously, but there's a few things that gain you life that specifically aren't lifelink. So with double strike, like, you can go up to 100 life really, really quick in this deck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think this is the most expensive card in our whole list. It's Mammoth Umbra. Not most expensive cost-wise, I mean. 4 and a white, enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets 3/3 vigilance and totem armor.
I was going to say, this is only a quarter. What do you mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty good. It's another very, very strong card. And there's another one that can, when you cast it, you can tutor pretty much any enchantment you want.
Yep. This next one is something I'm considering taking out of the deck. It was kind of there to protect me from things I didn't want to hit me. But
yeah.
But I think there's better protection things. It's Martial Impetus. It's 2 and a white, enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets 1/1 and is goaded. Whenever enchanted creature attacks, each other creature that's attacking one of your opponents gets +1/+1 until end of turn. So it's pretty good to focus elsewhere a big creature, but I don't know. I think there's better auras with it.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you go to the next one. This is another really, really good card to go. Oh, by the way, back to the Flickering Ward. I even forgot. You go and get Ethereal Armor and then something like this.
Yeah.
So yeah.
This next?
Yeah, take it away.
Yeah. This next one is Mask of Law and Grace. A single white, enchanted creature gains protection from black and from red.
It's...
That gets around a lot of removal.
Yeah, it's an awesome card.
Yeah.
The next one is Murder Investigation, and it's really, really good deterrence for people hitting Lightpaws. 1 and a white, enchant creature you control. When it dies, put X-1/1 white soldiers onto the battlefield where X is its power. And Lightpaws is usually a giant. It's giving you a lot of tokens if they manage to kill Lightpaws.
Oh, yeah.
We also have on Sarah's Wings, a legendary enchantment. 3 and a white, enchanted creature is legendary. Gets 1/1 flying vigilance lifelink. So just a lot of keywords for 4 mana and the ability to tutor out pretty much anything in the deck.
Yeah. This next one goes pretty well with those lifelinkers. Mm-hmm. Which one? Sorry. Light of Promise. It is Ordeal of Heliod. 1 and a white, enchanted creature. Whenever enchanted creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on it. Then if it has 3 or more +1/+1 counters on it, sacrifice Ordeal of Heliod. And when you sacrifice it, you gain 10 life.
Yeah, on that swing, the sacrifice happens before the damage. So if you have, I can't remember the name of the card now already, Light of Promise out.
Yeah.
Then, it'll already have 3 on it, and it's going to get +10 as it swings in, making Lightpaws on its own a 15 with just that card.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pacifism is really, really good for stopping things again, another defense aura. It's 1 and a white, enchant creature. Enchanted creature can't attack or block.
Next up is Pariah. 2 and a white, enchant creature. All damage that would be dealt to you is dealt to enchanted creature instead.
So good if you get like that holy mantle on it where it has protection from creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll attack me for 50. All right, I will Pariah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pariah is a cool card. It is very nice as well because you can put it, again, it's not a creature you control.
Yeah.
So you can, if somebody is playing the Theros Gods, I see a lot of them in play right now. It's really good to put on those.
Yeah, so just kind of redirect everything over there.
Yeah, I like it. Or again, someone has an Avacyn, someone has something indestructible, you just put it on that. We have Pentarch Ward as well, which is another card you don't see very often. It's 2 and a white, enchant creature. As it enters, choose a color. When it enters, draw a card. Enchanted creature has protection from the chosen color, and it doesn't remove Pentarch Ward.
Yeah.
Not as good as the Benevolent Blessing, but pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
Yeah, I just like them. I like that it's enters, draws a card. So if you're running low on cards in your hand, you've got mana up, and you tutored for a 3, this gives you another draw, and you're pretty likely in this deck. We're running 50 enchantments. You're pretty likely, literally a 50-50 chance in this deck almost, to draw an aura.
Yeah.
So... the next one, too, is really, really cool for... It's very similar to Darksteel Mutation.
Mm-hmm.
It's Reprobation. Oh, yeah, go ahead, take it.
Oh, yeah. So it's 1 and a white, enchantment aura, enchant creature. Enchanted creature loses all abilities and is a coward creature with base power and toughness 0/1.
I love calling people's creatures cowards.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so it keeps all other super types but loses all other types and creature types.
Nice.
Yeah. I love that card. You take this next one, too.
Yeah. This next one is Rune of Sustenance, 1 and a white for an aura rune. Enchant permanent. When Rune of Sustenance enters the battlefield, draw a card. And as long as enchanted permanent is a creature, it has lifelink. And as long as enchanted permanent is an equipment, it has equipped creature has lifelink.
Yeah. I really like that. Another enters draws.
Yeah.
And lifelink is good to have in a deck like this.
Oh, yeah.
Sage's Reverie is one of our next ones. It's 3 and a white. When it enters, draw a card for each aura you control that's attached to a creature. And that's awesome, especially because it's not when you cast, it's when it's entered. So if you tutor for it, you will get it out as well. Then enchanted creature gets 1/1 for each aura you control that's attached to a creature. So in this deck, pretty similar to like the Ethereal.
Yeah.
Because pretty much everything's an aura. The next one is the other one of that other cycle we talked about earlier. It's Shield of Duty and Reason. 1 white, an enchanted creature has protection from green and blue. The duty, the flavor text on it is awesome. The duty to defend, the reason to survive. I love it. Speaking of shields, you take this next one.
Yeah. This next one is Shielded by Faith. 1 double white. Enchanted creature has indestructible, and whenever a creature enters the battlefield, you may attach Shielded by Faith to that creature.
Yeah, I really like that.
I don't foresee the second bit there coming into play at all.
It's actually, so one thing that happens a lot of the time is Lightpaws will die.
That's true.
And yeah. So sometimes it is fun to put like a Shielded by Faith out on another creature, and then the next turn when I attach Lightpaws, or when I bring Lightpaws out, I move it back over to Lightpaws, so Lightpaws is indestructible as soon as I cast him.
Yeah.
Or her, whatever Lightpaws is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, I like Shielded by Faith for that.
Oh, yeah.
We also have Sigarda's Aid, which is, again, going to be one of the best things you can have in your opening hand.
Yeah.
It's a 1 drop, 1 white. You may cast aura and equipment as though they had flash. Whenever an equipment enters the battlefield under your control, you may attach a target creature. But that's not relevant. Just giving all of our auras flash is so good.
Yeah, this card does work in my Wyleth and Galea decks.
Oh, it's, yeah. Yeah, so Sigarda's Aid can't be matched with that stuff. Like the amount of power it brings to a deck when it's on the field is just silly.
Like, especially if you're playing like Colossus Hammer, which have the 10 mana.
Yeah, the huge equip cost.
You can just do that for free turn two.
It's a pretty silly card with equipments. Like, I think it is better.
Oh, yeah.
It's, I don't know, it's still really good in a deck like this, though. The next one is another one that, again, even in this budget version, I'm considering cutting. It's phenomenal as a card, but it's so high cost for this deck that I just don't think that it has a long-term place in this deck. I think, again, it would be better served to be another aura.
Yeah.
It's You can't see the list I'm looking at. Sigil of the Empty Throne. It's 3 and a white-white. Whenever you cast an enchantment spell, create a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying. It's pretty good, but I think you're better served if you want to go the route of having angels. You're probably better served going like a Luminarch Ascension kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just really high cost for what it does. It doesn't really interact with our commander, and sure, we're getting a lot of casts, but if I have 5 mana open, that's like potentially like 2 2-drops and a 1-drop. So like, that's potentially me going and getting 6 auras for that 5 mana.
Yeah.
So it just can't really compare. I left it in the deck because it's pretty good as like a defense thing, and if people are killing Lightpaws a lot, it at least gives you something else late game that you can kill people with. Because with the Flickering Ward, if you've got your 5 mana, you can just sit and really, really get a lot of angels out, but
yeah.
I don't know. The next one, like again, like when we're talking about 5-cost things, Skybind. We've got 3 white-white, and Skybind is gonna be one of the things that can actually interact. We're in white. We have the limited answers that we have in white. So Skybind is going to get us around annoying things that we can't deal with because of our color restriction, right? It's 3 white-white. It has Constellation. When it or another enchantment you control enters the battlefield under your control, exile target non-enchantment permanent, return to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So that's going to get us through a lot of like big annoying artifacts.
Yeah. This pairs very, very well with Sigarda's Aid as well.
Yep. Yeah, removing attacking creatures is rough.
Yeah.
Go ahead with the next one.
Next one is a Spectral Ward. 3 double white for an enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from all colors, and this effect doesn't remove auras.
Spectral Ward's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I definitely like Spectral Ward. Another really interesting thing is Lightpaws ability doesn't target Lightpaws.
Oh no.
Yeah, so specifically, Lightpaws, again, I'll go back to reading it. The reason we can get around those weird protection from white cards is whenever an aura enters under your control, if you cast it, you may search your library for an aura card with a mana value less than or equal to that aura's aura and with a different name, put it onto the battlefield attached to Lightpaws. So there is no word target there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lightpaws is not targeted, so you can still get the auras you tutor onto Lightpaws once you've given it protection from white, if the protection from white doesn't remove auras like Spectra Ward or like Benevolent Blessing. Kind of a fun rules interaction there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. The next one we have is Spectral Steel, and it's pretty good for everything we want in the deck. It's one and a white, enchanted creature gets 2/2, that's good stats already. But it also has one in a white, exile it from your graveyard. Return another target aura or enchantment from your graveyard to your hand. So 2 mana to recur anything, and it works once it's in the grave as well, is really, really good in this deck.
This one does a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, so this next one is one of the ones I was talking about. Spirit Link, another one drop. Enchanted creature, whenever enchanted creature deals damage, you gain that much life. That is not lifelink, that will stack with lifelink.
Nice.
Yeah, it is specifically not lifelink, and so is the next one, and I'll let you take the next one.
Yeah, this next one is Spirit Loop, one and a white, enchant creature you control. Whenever enchanted creature deals damage, you gain that much life, and when Spirit Loop is put into a graveyard from play, return Spirit Loop to its owner's hand.
Yes. So again, definitely what we want in the deck, with it coming back to our hand, so we recur it every time is awesome. But if you have, like, Spirit Loop, Spirit Link, and like a Daybreak Coronet on it. That's 2 instances of when they deal damage, you gain life, and then also Daybreak Coronet gives you lifelink. So if you're doing 10 damage, you're gaining 30 damage with this. 30 life.
Then with Light of Promise as well, that's...
Yeah, it's any of the cards that put counters on it, there's another one coming up too for gaining life. They're sleeper cards in the deck. People are like, well, he's not playing life gain, so who cares?
Yeah.
Right?
But it gets out of hand really, really fast.
Yeah. Spirit Mantle is another great early tutor. One and a white, enchant creature, and enchanted creature gets 1/1 and protection from creatures. Lightpaws can't be blocked.
Beautiful. One shot kills all game.
Yeah, Lightpaws goes off. You can take this one, yep.
Yeah, this next one is Sunclasp, one and a white, enchanted creature gets +1/+3, and you can pay a white to return enchanted creature to its owner's hand.
Yeah. It's protection. But it's more than that. I like to bounce people's high-cost commanders back to their hand because I think it's funny.
Yeah.
That's sometimes there's things that I can't get rid of, but I can blink it. And I can politics with it as well. Like, hey, don't swing that at me and I won't blink it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like that. Sunbond is one of the ones I was talking about as well earlier. It's 3 and a white. It's enchant creature. Enchanted creature has whenever you gain life, put that many 1/1 counters on this creature. And that can just get out of control.
Yeah.
The next one as well is such a good answer. It's a card that immediately needed a reprint after it was being printed. It just came out, and I can't get enough of these cards already. This is amazing. It's Swift Reconfiguration. It's 1 white for an aura. It has flash, enchants a creature or a vehicle. An enchanted permanent is a vehicle artifact with crew 5 and loses all other card types. It's not a creature unless it's crewed. It's so good.
Yeah, this is really, really good card.
Yeah, like it's phenomenal removal.
Mm-hmm.
Loses all other card types. Ooh, it's so good. The next one you could take here.
Yeah, this next one is Unquestioned Authority, 2 and a white, enchant creature. When Unquestioned Authority enters the battlefield, draw a card. And enchanted creature has protection from creatures.
Yeah, again, everything we want. We want Lightpaws to get through. We like card draw because we get it where we can get it.
Yeah.
And then our last one again is another one that I'm unsure about. I think it'd be better served with something that realistically, even with a Sol Ring. I could put a Sol Ring in the deck, but I just didn't.
Yeah.
But like you can replace this with a Sol Ring. It's Vow of Duty. It's 2 and a white for an enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets 2/2 vigilance and can't attack you or planeswalkers you control.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like this one, like I said, this episode just flew by really quickly because It's all pretty simple stuff, right? Nothing's really complex. There's not many interactions I really have to explain of hey, this interact like This is Oonga Boonga magic. This is really, really easy caveman stuff where you're just like, see light paws on the field, put things on light paws. This is just light paws dress up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's fun to play magic that way sometimes where you don't have a lot of like complex interactions and triggers that you have. Like sometimes our board states just get so out of control where upkeep this, end step that, whenever someone does this, like, sometimes it is fun to just be like, I have a 20/20.
Yeah, it's nice to play simple magic sometimes.
Yeah, response. It is really fun to tutor through the deck as well and kind of get what suits your needs. Benevolent Blessing is going to be one of the best cards you can get out with it, like I said. It's just so good, but really there's not much in here that I don't like to tutor for, right? I really, really like to get the Mask of Law and Grace and Shield of Duty and Reason. I just find that those cards really, really perform well.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they can come down, basically be tutored by any aura in the deck is really, really good. Like, there's just so many fun things. But if you are doing early tutors, my targets would be those two, I would say. All That Glitters, Ethereal Armor, Daybreak Coronet. Like, those are going to do a lot of work. Daybreak Coronet, I can't stress enough how good it is. And then, like I said, if you can go and get your... The ideal situation is to get Daybreak Coronet out with it, and then the... what's the life gain one? Light of Promise. Literally, yes. if you can cast a 3-cost and get Light of Promise, and then a 2-cost and get Daybreak Coronet, you're looking real good with Light Paws. Light Paws just becomes unstoppable at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this deck, or seems pretty straightforward, or what do you think?
You know, it is very, very straightforward. I think this is, I think I might try to build this one. I ended up pulling the Light Paws, and it seems really, really fun.
It's such a fun deck, and it costs nothing. It costs nothing to build Light Paws. Yeah. Like you don't need, if you were to take out even Umbra Mystic and Flickering Ward, and then there's like $9 in basic planes in the deck or something on this list as well. You've taken like $40 off the list. You've got a $140 commander deck that's just going to like slap people. Like, oh, Light Paws is so fun to play. And there's lots of really, really good, like Resurgent Belief is a new card that's really good to bring back your auras. You could make it a little less like aura intensive. Like you don't need 50 auras or 50 enchantments in a deck. Like I get that. I'm a simple man. Yeah.
Even if you just like cut some of them that are not putting in as much work as you'd like them to, kind of like you're saying with Vow of Duty, for example.
Yeah.
Just throw in a couple mana rocks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Fixing the ramp in this deck would be good. I just like to tutor out my auras as fast as possible. Obviously, mana rocks are going to make this deck like more consistent, and they're going to get you some of your 3-drops and your 4-drops out faster. There is it's not a quarter paladin. It's one of the new ones though. It's at your end step, each opponent's end step, if they have more creatures than you, you get a soldier, and if they have more lands, you go get a plains. That would be a phenomenal card in this deck as well. Like there has been, again, like I said, Smothering Tithes. No one can complain about Smothering Tithes. Like it is what it is, right? It's such a good card on its own. But
yeah, and you could also always just go and add your land tax to help fix your mana, or...
Oh, yeah. Like, and that's the other thing. Like, in a more competitive version of this deck, you could get things to get out, like, your turn one Light Paws and just start hitting people like a truck from turn one on. There is a bunch of stuff that can come out of this deck. Like I said, we don't need, for instance, the Mammoth Umbra. That's a little expensive for what it actually gives us, the 4/4 Vigilance Totem Armor. We've got cards that outperform that, or 3/3 Vigilance Totem Armor, right? Like, we've got cards that outperform that, like, especially in a late game situation where we've got 5 mana. That 5 mana can, again, cast us 2 2-drops and a 1-drop, and that's going to outperform the 1 5-mana and the 1 thing we get from it. So, like I said, it's a very edible list. Like I said, I built this for a new player, so I got them comfortable with picking their deck up, looking through it and trying to find answers, right? Trying to say, okay, well, what do I need? Because it's a good way to threat assess and say, all right, well, I'm going to do this, or okay, well, my problem is this player and they're green. Like you want to teach people, if you're teaching people with this, commander damage is a great option and way to kill people in the game.
Yeah.
And that's, again, it's teaching newer players to look for alternative win cons that isn't just 40 damage. There's some life gain decks you can't get through the life. You can't creature through life.
No.
Right? Like we played pretty late into last night, and one of our players had a life tap out where, like, every time forests are tapped, they got a life. Or not, it might not have been life tap. I can't remember, whatever the card is that whenever they tap forest, they gain life. And a Yavi Maya out. So every time anyone tapped anything, they were gaining life. And then they had things that were giving them the double life gain. Like, it just, they were really, really, like, I think at the end of the game, they were at 700 life.
Yeah.
They did only die 2 commander damage in a very long, drawn-out stacks game.
Yeah, that's kind of why I think it's always important to have multiple different ways to win other than just combat damage. Like,
yeah.
Mill or even Infect. I know a lot of people don't like that one, but...
Another card that would be really good in this deck, as I mentioned, you can gain phenomenal amounts of life, and dropping down an Aetherflux Reservoir is basically an insta-kill on the table at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's very, very nice to be able to just blow the table up when you have... another one would be the Celestial Mantle, where whenever... equipped creature deals damage, you double your life total. That one really can put in a lot of work as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, like I said, like I literally have already currently built 2 Light Paws decks. I'm probably going to build a 3rd Light Paws deck just for, like, I want to see how competitive you can make a Light Paws deck. And that one's going to be full of stuff like Silence, trying to drop a turn 1 Light Paws. It's going to be... That's going to be an aggressive cancer stacks deck.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see where we get with that one and how competitive Light Paws actually can be for mono white. Like I said, I think Light Paws is the strongest mono white commander by a large margin.
Definitely up there, yeah.
Yeah, it's if you build one of these, you'll have to let me know what you think and what you included instead.
I did just build a mono white deck, so I might just keep the train rolling.
Yeah, fair. You're mono white players for life. No, if you guys have built a Light Paws deck, please let us know on Instagram or on just in the comments and stuff. You just feel free to send us a message and let us know how you built it, why I should have built better, because I really should have. I only have so many soul rings, all right, guys? Like, there's a finite amount of them. I know it seems like there's not, but there's only so many that exist.
They release so many precons a year with Soul Ring in them.
Yeah, I can't buy out every game store in the world with it. I've done it to all the ones here. But I really, really think that Light Paws is a fun deck to play around. I've had a good time. I've found myself reaching for it more and more, and that's generally how I gauge if something is actually fun, is if I keep doing it. Better ramp in the deck would honestly make it stronger, and so would, obviously missing from this list is something I put in a lot of the time, is Howling Mine. I just didn't have a space for it because I wanted to keep putting auras in, but things that give you more draw in your white early, like hitting those extra land draws is great, and then if you draw 2 auras, you gotta remember, you're doubling up, right? Like, your opponents aren't tutoring on their cast. So, like, sure, they're going to draw a second card like they always do with Howling Mine. Speeds the game up. But if I draw 2 auras, like if I draw 2 drops and I have 4 mana out, I get double that in value and I get to tutor for the things I want. Like, it's just a great card. I love Light Paws so much.
Yeah, it's definitely a very fun looking commander, and that's going to be my next one, I think.
It's like I said, it's super budget friendly. A lot of these are commons and uncommons.
Yeah, and just looking at this list here, I'm fairly certain I've got like 95% of this just kind of sitting on my shelf.
Oh yeah, like it. These are just, like, generally speaking, like binder cards or junk cards. There's not very many super. Like, again, Daybreak Coronet is a great card, and it's an expensive one again at $11. It's not a junk card, but like my Holy Mantle 25 cents, my Guardian's Mage Mark 25 cents, Ordeal of Heliod 29 cents, like.
Yeah.
A lot of them are just quarter cards, and it's really fun to kill people with not powerful cards.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Getting one of your draw engines online in this deck really, really also helped you out a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's where I'll wrap it for now and stuff. If you like our content, go to intothe99.com. Everything is up there. We are going to be starting to do some stream games again coming up soon. Make sure to follow Zach Slothy and myself and the Into the 99 page on Instagram. Interact with us. We're always talking on Instagram. And yeah, send us things you think about these decks. Like, say hi, tell us what you think, tell us what you would have put in and stuff. We love discussing decks. Obviously, that's why we jump in every week and do this. And again, thank you so much for listening. If you find us on Spotify or Apple Music, please rate and review it. Anything helps, but obviously the better reviews are going to help us more. So a five-star review would be awesome from any of you guys if you've got the time. And yeah, thanks so much for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you.